Looks like it's been a couple of weeks before, you know, I came and preached, and it's always a joy to, you know, preach God's word because we see the word of God so active, so rich, right? And it helps us to live a life for Him. So before we, you know, go or dive into God's word, let's take a moment and ask God to speak to us. Father, we thank You for this day. We pray, God, that we want to just hear You loud and clear. Do you know, Lord, where we are? And we know, Lord, that nothing is hidden in Your presence, Father. Lord, as Samuel said, speak, and Your servant is listening. And so, Lord, we pray that even today, that You'll speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Have you been in a situation where you felt, right, that you wanted God to intervene? It's a situation that you feel that, you know, there is no escape. You're caught. You feel, you know, something has to happen. In other words, some divine intervention have to happen. If not, there is no way out. There is no escape for me. Have you been in such a situation where you feel, you know, Lord, I need You? Yes, I think all of us are fully aware that we need God each and every moment, right? And God is always there to help us. But there are times in our life that we want God to intervene, right? We need God to just intervene in our lives. Particularly the doctor, you know, comes with a medical report and says, you know, I don't think I have a good news for you, right? Look at the report. I really do not know what to say. Maybe there are moments in our life and we feel, Lord, right, science is not able to help me, or even medicine is not able to help me. It's only You can intervene in my life. And not only that, I think there are moments in our life, right, and we, you know, you are shortlisted for a job. And you really need that particular job because your family is just depending on you. And then you have tried so many things and nothing has actually worked out. And you are shortlisted. You might be the one, you might not be the one. And can you imagine? And there are moments like that in our life that we need God to intervene. We need the supernatural power to intervene. And we know that is all these things are beyond our control. We are not able to change things. Only God can do in our lives, my friend. I believe, I think sometimes in our life too, yes, we say, no, Lord, I really don't need Your help because I'm able to manage things in my life. But let me tell you, there will be moments in your life, probably in your career or even in your studies or even in terms of health, right, where you really need God to help you. And the passage for today, it's a beautiful passage. It's a passage that tells us very clearly that, you know, that we need God's intervention in our life. Let's go through what's happening, you know, in Acts chapter 12, if you have your scriptures. It says it was about this time. In other words, it was the time where the church was growing. It was the time where, you know, Peter and all these people were just involved in ministry. And it was also a time where they say they were almost out of famine kind of a thing. So it was, you know, things was just going on well. Until when you read the Acts of the Apostle until chapter 12, you know, things were going well. There were persecution, not so intense, right? Things was almost like in terms of in control. And so what was happening in this, about this time, King Herod arrested some people who belonged to the church. And so this man, right, he was a very cruel guy. He wanted to arrest, he wanted to persecute the church, the people who were gathered in Jesus' name, intending to persecute them, right? He said in verse 2, he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. You know, when you look at history very carefully, what was happening, you know, the apostles thought they will always be protected by God. Right? They were the special people. They were the appointed one. They were specially chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. They thought that they will always be protected by Christ. Right? Until chapter 12, things were wonderful. Yes, there was persecution, but nothing came close to them Because we were with the Lord Jesus Christ, we saw his ministry, and so nothing is going to hurt me. You know, sometimes in our Christian life, we think as Christians, you know, because I have a walk with God, I'm not going to face any temptation. I'm not going to have problems in my life. You know, I'm not going to have difficulties. I will always be perfect in terms of health, everything. You know, probably that's what the disciples were thinking, the apostles were thinking. But they forgot, you know, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus was talking to them that, you know, I'm just sending you to the wolves, right? And if we read particularly Matthew chapter 10, he says, you will be flocked, you will be persecuted. Maybe they forgot all that thing. They thought life will be good because I'm a Christian. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God has, you know, selected me or appointed me to be an apostle. So I'm a pastor of the church. I'll be well. Everything will be good. My blood pressure will be good. My diabetes will be good. And I will always be good and healthy. And that's the way probably the disciples were thinking. But what was happening in verse 2, it says, they had James, the brother of John. Remember the sons of Zebedee, James and John. Very interestingly, James died first, and then John, the brother last, died the last. He was martyred for Christ. He died with a sword. Just to give you a history, what was happening, he died with a sword means he was beheaded. You know, in those days, they behead people who were almost like causing some kind of disturbance to the present religion. In other words, they were causing another movement, another religious movement or a sect that is happening. And so such people were victimized, right? They were persecuted and they were beheaded. Can you imagine James, right? The apostle of Jesus Christ, right? And they assumed that Jesus will protect them. And what was happening? He was beheaded. And in verse 3, it says, when he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, you know, because Christianity at that point of time was very, in a very young stage, right? It was still growing. And to other people, it was a movement that cannot be accepted. The Jews were totally against it. And so what was happening, Herod was also against it because he wanted the approval of the majority, because that's politicians, right? That's the way rulers are even today. They want the support of the majority. And so he was least bothered about what was happening to the small group of Christians who were just growing, just professing the faith. They were wanting to live a good and a wonderful life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what was happening. And he wanted to persecute them. And so what happened? I think he proceeded to seize Peter also. And so Peter is in prison. Right? After arresting Peter, in verse 4 it says, he put him in prison, handing him over to the guard by four squads of four soldiers. In other words, there were 16 soldiers just guarding one man. Can you imagine? 16 soldiers guarding one man. In other words, at every time there will be four soldiers just guarding him. They take turns. Every 3 hours they take a break. And that was how every time there was around at least four people. And in those days, what was happening, if you look at it very carefully, Peter was actually chained to two people. In those days, they will always chain to one. But Peter was specially chained to two. There is no way out, my friend. Herod is happy because he wanted the favor of others. He wanted to rule. He didn't want the Jews to have an uproar, in other words, to come against his rule. He just wanted to please them, make them happy. I think that's the way Herod was. And so, can you imagine, you know, it was a very hopeless situation. Chained to two soldiers, Peter is. And the church needed Peter very much. They needed James because he was one of the pillars of the church. And they needed Peter because Peter was another pillar. Can you imagine if you take the pillars away, the building is destroyed, it collapses. And that was the situation of the church. They were like an infant church. They needed James, and one pillar is gone. They needed Peter, you know, because in chapter 11, you saw Peter was just preaching God's word. We need Peter. We desperately need him. Without him, we do not know what is going to happen. They in a difficult situation, my friend. And that happens to us also, right? I can imagine, I believe that they would have actually lost hope, kind of a thing. Dear friends, wherever you are, might be moments in your life you feel, you know, Lord, I'm caught. I do not know what to do. Right? People are against, King Herod is against, right? The world is against me because of my Christian life. My friends might be against me because I speak about Jesus. I talk about his values, about his teaching, about my faith. When I share my faith story, people laugh at me, kind of a thing. You know, I'm caught. I pray to God and I'm seeking this job. You know, nothing has happened. Only God can give me because, you know, people are just dependent on me. So what was happening? You know, let me tell you, what do you do in moments like this? What do you do in moments like this, right? Sometimes you crash. That's it, right? Depression. You have issues in life. You go through a heavy depression and you say, I do not know what to do, right? And do you know something? The suicidal rate is increasing. I was very sad. I was very saddened to read, you know, a lot of kids in Singapore, right, because of exams and all that. The suicidal rate is pretty high. What do you do in moments of despair? Very interesting, simple, but can be very difficult for us, right? What was happening? In verse 5, it says, when Peter was in prison, what was happening? The church was praying. Very simple, that's what we think. Is that the church was praying, and the church was earnestly praying. I was looking at the word very carefully. What's the difference between the way many times we pray and the difference the way the church was praying in those days? It says, if I look at the Greek word very carefully, it says there was they were very fervently praying. It was just one prayer item. It can just last for 2 minutes, but there was intensity. They were praying to the Lord, probably with a lot of tears. They was just praying, Lord, we need you. We want you to intervene in our lives. And what was happening? They were praying almost throughout the night. Can you imagine praying for one item throughout the night? I believe each and everyone were praying with intensity, with earnestly, and saying, Lord, it's you. We have come to a stage that we cannot do anything. Herod is against us. The Jews are against us. Lord, we do not have anyone. Lord, only you can intervene. The establishment is just starting to grow. People are catching on the fire of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need Peter. We need his help. Can you imagine, you know, when we pray for 10 minutes itself, we say, you know, it's a long prayer. But Peter was praying throughout the night. You know, the church was praying throughout the night, just praying and praying, because they were persevering in prayer. I don't know how many of you actually prayed like that, but let me tell you, sometimes we take prayer too lightly, right? When we pray, do we pray earnestly? Is our heart, soul, mind in prayer, my friend? We pray because, you know, because we have to pray. That's a Christian routine or a discipline, you know. If someone shares a problem, we say, you know, let's pray. We'll pray for you. You know, that's it. And then that's a way of escape. But do we really pray like the early church? The early church just was spending throughout the night. You know, they locked themselves in a place and they were just praying and praying. You know why? Because prayer means that we are not just showing a request to God. It means we are meeting God, my friend. That is prayer. And I believe the church was praying because they knew very well, you know, Lord, we want to meet you. We want to have a conversation with you. We want to talk to you, Lord. And so prayer is not just pouring our hearts and saying, Lord, this is what I need. But prayer is meeting God. Do you realize we many times we pray, right? Look at the requests. Many times, you know, 90% of our prayer is request. But I think it's meeting God. Like, do we meet God in prayer? So every time you pray, let me tell you, you are meeting God, my friend. Do you love meeting God? Do you spend that time, you know, quality time meeting God? And this church was praying throughout the night because they want a supernatural intervention to happen. Prayer also, not only we meet God, but it moves God. I'm not saying that, you know, things will go against God's will and all that. But when we pray, right, there is power in prayer. The Lord listens to the prayer. In the psalmist, it's very interesting, when the psalmist writes about prayer, he always uses a word that God leans to hear our prayer. That's the way. He wants to hear every word that we want to tell him. In James 5:16, it says, the righteous man, right, his prayer is effective, is powerful. Right? So it is not that God will do things against his will and purposes, but I think it allows God to work in our life more powerfully. Look at the Acts of the Apostles, right? Sometimes I look at the Acts of the Apostles, I see the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Every time the church prayed, the Spirit of God was moving. The church prayed, Peter was released. And the church prayed, Paul and Barnabas were out of prison. The church prayed earnestly, my friend, not just because, you know, it's not 20 minutes kind of a prayer. There was intensity. I believe there was tears in their prayer. And the Bible says that God bottles our tears, right? He knows every tear that drops. How's our prayer today? Do we pray in such a way, Lord, I meet you. And I'm meeting you. And I want to, Lord, want you to hear my prayer. I'm going to finish. You know, it says God intervenes, right? You know, when you pray, when you are in a situation that is no way out, you need God desperately, and God intervenes to prayer. You know, whenever God intervenes, it's always powerful. I like the way God intervenes in this particular passage. When you see God intervenes, He intervenes in such a way, you know, it brings a lot of surprises to us. Firstly, what is happening? And God intervenes in his own time, right? If you look at the first thing, it says he appears. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Suddenly, at his time, right? Can you imagine? God is appearing almost at the 11th hour. That next day, Peter will be tried and he will be persecuted. Probably, you know, he will be beheaded, right? God appears through an angel, through a messenger, you know, and God appears, my friend, in a way that you and I don't understand, right? He appears to Peter and he reveals himself to Peter. The angel of the Lord comes. It means that it also means appeared, doesn't mean that he appeared. It means it stood beside Peter. That's the meaning of the word in the Greek text, to say, I am with you in this thing. I think that's the first thing God wants to do in every prayer of us. He wants to assure us that he is with us. And we need to know that, you know, we need to acknowledge his presence with us. I think that's important. Many times we think, you know, God is not there. That's why these things are not happening. So the angel of the Lord appeared, in other words, to show, Peter, I'm here. I'm with you. I know what's happening. And I'm here to help. Right? That's the way. First and foremost, God wants us to acknowledge his presence, right? And do we acknowledge God's presence, that God is with us? Because I love him, I'm faithful to him, I've prayed earnestly with a lot of fervor, and I know that God is with me. And he's with me, he's hearing my prayer. Secondly, what is happening here, you know, not only he appears, he breaks, right? And the chains fell off Peter's wrist. He breaks. Can you imagine? And you know, I told you, in those days what was happening, they chained the wrist to one soldier. But for Peter, it was two soldiers. He breaks things that hinders, my friend. Nothing is impossible in the sight of God. What are the hindrances? What are the obstacles? What are the rough roads? God can smoothen the thing. God can break things that hinders. He can do Marvelous things, my friend, supernatural thing. Can you imagine? Peter is just, he might say, Lord, I know you're here. What do I do with my chains, oh God? And God takes away every hindrance, provided we acknowledge and we know that, you know, he is there with me. Secondly, you know, thirdly, if you realize what is happening, not only, you know, he breaks, what's happening? You know, God does another thing. He breaks, and thirdly, he opens. You know, when I was reading this, you know, I was laughing to myself. Probably these guys who were involved in technology, they studied this particular passage, and that's why we have automatic doors today, right? It says it opened for themselves, for them by itself, right? And nowadays we have, probably the Lord even started way before we can even think of these technologies. It means that even the angel did not even touch. Peter need not even have to push, my friend, to see whether the gate will open. And this gate is a very important gate because it is a gate that leads to the city. It's plated with iron that no one can escape and no one can come in. It is much more protected, my friend. A lot of security was involved in this thing. It was happening without any effort by the angel or even by Peter. Peter, you need to walk, that's all. You need to walk where the angel of the Lord is leading you, because he knows the way. He wants you to just follow him, and he will open the doors for us, my friend. I think that's the way that God intervenes, and that's the way he wants to intervene in our life. And when we pray, do we have that kind of zeal in us, that kind of passion in us, that kind of fervor in us by saying, Lord, it's only you who can do this thing in my life. And I believe God was doing it because he had a purpose. Not only that, you know, he wants to answer the prayers of these early Christians. He opens, right? There was no force involved. There was no need. Peter has to follow. And he has to just walk accordingly. And lastly, like this particular word. You know, it says the God surprises people. What is happening? In verse 11, it says, then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that God has sent his angel and rescued me or saved me. Now I know. You know, Peter is surprised. For a moment he was thinking, you know, I'm dreaming. Right? I'm just having a vision. Or maybe I'm just thinking, you know, because I want to live in this world. But then, you know, God is surprising him. Peter himself is thinking and saying, wow, what happened, Lord? And not only that, in verse 14, you know, the servant girl by the name of Rhoda comes and she opens the door and she's saying, you know, and she's overjoyed. She ran back without opening it, right, fully, and exclaimed, Peter is at the door. She's just overjoyed. You know what is happening? God is not only surprising Peter, but he's also surprising people, my friend, ordinary people like Rhoda. And not only that, he's also surprising people. The disciples were praying. In verse 16, he says, and Peter kept on knocking, and they opened the door, and they saw him, and they were astonished. In other words, they were astonished, they were amazed. They were just telling themselves, how did this happen? Right? How can this happen? And that is the word here. They were just wondering, Lord, I don't understand your intervention. I don't understand your intervention. You know, when I see things, and I see a God is so powerful, he does things beyond my imagination or even your imagination, my friend. And I think we need God's intervention in our lives, right? There are moments. But let me encourage you, be strong in your prayer life. Prayer is not just giving a request, it's meeting God. How often do you meet God, my friend, today? Do we meet him whenever we need him? Or do we meet him because I want to meet him? You want to move the heart of God? Let me tell you, it's prayer. Because when you pray, you're actually conversing with God. Let me share a story with you about what happened in my travel together with my wife to China. I have a lot of stories. If I tell you stories from the time we came to Canada, probably you might be, you know, I don't want to bore you with all these stories, but I see God's hand. I shared this with EMT. You know, my wife and I, you know, we went to China a couple of weeks ago. We were so excited because we want to see that great land, right? To learn the traditions, the people, look at the place, right? Enjoy the food. By the way, I ate a lot of things, exotic kind of food. I want to venture out. You know, we prayed at home before we left. Usually, every day we pray as a family. And we left. And when my wife and I, we were, you know, in the plane, we were flying on. We were just 6 hours away from Beijing. You know, the plane was, we were in the plane, and we felt that's the end of our life, because it was not turbulence alone. It was more than turbulence. For a good, I would say, 15 minutes, you know, we were just like, I told Lord, I think, let me do my last prayer, kind of a thing. I really gave up hope. You know, I can hear, you know, the sound from the pantry. Things were just dropping. My wife looked at me, and I looked at her. I didn't know what to say, you know, and I told my wife, and she also, we were thinking of our two daughters, right, because we love them, and we didn't know what to do, and I was just praying and say, Lord, you know, and people were just, you know, just wondering. It was. Let me tell you, it was difficult. It was difficult for me. I've flown to many countries, but I've never experienced like that. My wife and I, we started holding hands, you know, and then she said, "Can I pray?" I said, "Sure." I'm praying. For me, I know, you know, maybe I almost like lost my faith, kind of a thing. I felt, you know, that's it, you know. And she prayed, and she prayed, and then we hold our hands together, and because we told ourselves we die, you know, we will die together. You know, it even after prayer, it was still bad. The turbulence, or even worse than turbulence, but you know, God. And I believe very strongly, very firmly, it was God's intervention. It was God's intervention. And there are so many things that actually has happened in my life, and I have seen God's intervention that's happening, my friend. Not to say that, you know, I'm a very powerful in terms of my prayer, but, you know, I think, yes, I pray, and I pray to God. And let me encourage you, my friend, wherever you are, this God is willing to intervene in our lives, right? He doesn't just want to answer our prayers. He wants to do the supernatural things which you might be struggling and be just saying, Lord, I need you. And this God says, I want to help you. And I want to show you that I can do this thing in your life. I can break things. I can open the things. And I can shake things for you. For you to know that I'm alive. That I love you so much. Let's pray. Where are you today, my friend? Do you need God's intervention? Yes, God is there to help us. But there are moments in our life, there are certain moments in our life that, Lord, only you can do. Even today, let me encourage you. Don't give up your faith. Just hold on to Him. Be earnest in what you do. Like the early church. You know, something they did not know what to do. They can't go to the authorities. They can't go to the Jews. There is no way, and there's no one to help. And they were in bended knees, my friend, just praying, pleading. It was something new to them. Where are you today? You know, God says, you know, I want to help you. I want to intervene. You know, when God intervenes, oh, what a powerful God. Firstly, He assures us that He is there. And He wants us to acknowledge. What is hindering? He can break that, my friend. Do you trust? He can open the doors. You might think, you know, there's no way out. Peter, the leader of the church, was surprised. Can you imagine? And God surprised him. And God surprised the servant girl. And God surprised the apostles and the disciples who are praying. Do you want God to surprise you, my friend? Go to Him. Be earnest. Meet Him. Make it a regular habit of meeting Jesus. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for giving us hope, O God. There is always hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, we realize there are moments in our life, O God, and we need Your intervention, Father. It's only You is able to help us. And so, Lord, help us to lean on to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.